أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2024, today being the 21st day of the month of Ramadan, a day of sorrow and sadness. Although we're in a happy month of Ramadan, but there's no happiness today. Today being the day of the martyrdom of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, let me begin by offering my condolences to the Imam of our age, Imam Al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return. To our senior scholars and to all of you, as we remember the day that the first Imam, the first man to pray behind the Prophet, a man of many firsts, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, succumbed to that fatal blow, Ibn Muljam, that happened on the 19th of the month of Ramadan, leaving this world a few days later on the 21st. Now, over the past 2 days, we have been reflecting on the silent Quran in the words of the speaking Quran, that is Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And to round out our discussion, we present one final reflection on the Quran in the words of the commander of the faithful. Now, as we continue in our series, you know, we turn our focus back to that same verse that we've been reviewing about the Quran over the past 2 days from chapter 54, Surah Al-Qamar, verse number 17, in which Allah has said, "And indeed, by revealing it through human language, we have made the Quran easy for remembrance. Then, is there any that remembers and takes heed?" Now, this verse was repeated by Allah 4 times in the same chapter. But why the repetition, Ya Allah? Well, without a doubt, this verse holds profound significance within the context of the Quran's message and the broader spiritual journey of believers. Its repetition 4 times within the same chapter signifies a multiplicity of purposes, all serving to emphasize the Quran's accessibility and the imperative for believers to reflect upon its teachings. Now, we are spending time this month of Ramadan, I'm sure we all are, in recitation of the Quran. However, are we also taking some time to reflect on the meanings of the Quran? If not during the month of Ramadan, as I know there's so much to do in terms of worship, are we doing so outside of the blessed month to read and reflect on the Quran? At its core, this verse communicates the inherent simplicity and accessibility of the Quran. It asserts that Allah has made His message easy for remembrance and reflection. Now, this ease does not imply a lack of depth or complexity within the Quranic teachings. Rather, it indicates that the guidance provided within the Quran is clear and understandable to those who approach it with sincerity and an open spiritual heart. The repetition of this verse, again 4 times, underscores its significance and serves as a rhetorical device to capture the attention of you and I, the reader or the listener. Each repetition reinforces the central message, which is urging the believers to reflect on the Quran's teaching and take heed of its guidance. This repetition also highlights the mercy and grace of Allah, who has made His guidance readily available to humanity, despite its profundity. Furthermore, the verse prompts believers to engage in introspection by posing the question, "Then, is there any that remembers and takes heed?" Multiple times, the verse invites individuals to evaluate their relationship with the Quran. It encourages believers to consider whether they are actively engaging with the Quranic message, internalizing its teachings, and applying them in their daily lives. Moreover, the repetition of this verse serves as a reminder of the Quran's central role in the life of a believer. It underscores the importance of regular recitation, reflection, and implementation of Quranic teachings in one's life. By repeating the assertion of the Quran's ease of remembrance and reflection, the verse encourages believers, you and I, to establish a deep connection with the Quran, allowing its guidance to permeate every aspect of our existence. Additionally, the repetition of this verse within Surah Al-Qamar, it highlights the thematic coherence of the chapter. Now, surahs in the Quran often revolve around central themes or motifs, and the repetition of this verse contributes to the overarching message of Surah Al-Qamar. Through various narratives and admonitions, the chapter underscores the consequences of disbelief, as well as the rewards of faith, ultimately inviting the readers to reflect on the signs of Allah's existence and mercy. In summary, the repetition of the verse, "And indeed we have made the Quran easy for remembrance, then is there any that remembers and takes heed?" This verse being repeated, it serves to emphasize the Quran's accessibility, encouraging us to reflect on the messages and the teachings, to prompt introspection and reinforce its central role in the life of a believer. It underscores the mercy and grace of Allah in making His guidance readily available to humanity, and invites us as believers to establish a deep and transformative relationship with the Word of Allah, the Quran. With that said, let me focus briefly on the martyrdom of Imam Ali for today. Begin with the manner of martyrdom. We mentioned this on the 19th, that the Commander of the Faithful had gone to the Masjid of Kufa for the Fajr prayer on the 19th of the month of Ramadan. He was fatally wounded by Ibn Muljam, who brought down his poisoned sword upon the blessed skull, the head of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And upon hearing this heart-wrenching news, the people of Kufa, filled with concern and dread, they rushed towards the Masjid. Men and women, young and old, endeavored to reach the Masjid to actually see what had taken place. And in that short period of time, the Masjid had become filled with the sorrowful and anxious crowds. After finishing the prayer, Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, gestured and sat down, asking his close ones to take him home. His companions led him towards his residence. His family were there. They took him back home, and while the people accompanied him with tears, sighs, lamentations, and cries, he made his way to his family. Those final hours of his life, brothers and sisters, due to that inflicted injury, the blessed face of the Imam had begun to turn pale and white. And as he would gaze towards the sky, his tongue would be engaged in the glorification of Allah and the sanctification of the Almighty. He would be heard saying, "O my Lord, I beseech you for the company of the prophets and the righteous and the highest ranks in the garden of abode." After a short time, he would lose consciousness while Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, his son, was weeping. The drops of tears from his son would fall on the face of the father. And Imam Ali would regain consciousness and he would say to his dear son Hassan, he would say, "My son, why do you weep and lament? Indeed, after me, they will martyr you with poison, and they will bring your brother Hussein to martyrdom with the sword's blade. You will join your father and your mother." Eventually, the physicians make their way to the bedside of the Imam. They make their way. The best doctors of the city of Kufa had gathered in the house of Imam Ali to see what they could do to save him. Could they even save the life of this man, given what had happened? And after doing all they could, the doctors, they resigned to the decree of Allah, and they said to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, "Make your last will, make your testament, for the blow of this enemy of Allah has done its work and there is nothing more that we can do." It's been narrated, brothers and sisters, from Muhammad ibn Hanafiyah, the son of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, that on that 20th night of the blessed month of Ramadan, he says that he was beside his father's bedside, and the effects of the poison had reached the feet of Imam Ali. The Imam performed his prayers while seated, and he gave his last instructions, comforting the family and informing them of his martyrdom. When the morning dawned and the people were allowed to come into his presence, and the Imam permitted them in and the family allowed them in, Muhammad al-Hanafiyah says there was a steady flow of people coming in groups. They would enter the house, greet the Imam. The Imam would respond saying, "People, O people, ask me before you lose me. Saluni, saluni, kabla an tafkiduni." But eventually, brothers and sisters, that moment of martyrdom would come. And as the final moments of the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, dawned on the 21st of the month of Ramadan, he turned his gaze towards his family and said, "I entrust everyone to Allah. May He guide all toward the path of truth and righteousness and protect them from the harm of the enemies. Allah is the guardian and helper over you all, and Allah is sufficient for this matter." The Imam then began to say, "O messengers of Allah, greetings be upon all of you." And he would be heard saying, "And the workers of the righteous, they shall prosper. As the Imam would say, that it is imperative that the people of action strive for such rewards and status, as indeed Allah is with the righteous and the benefactors. Then we're told that sweat began to form on the forehead, and he continuously engaged in the remembrance of Allah, saying, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, and reciting the Shahadatain over and over and over again. Shortly after, he turns towards the Qibla and closes his eyes, stretched out his hands and feet towards the Qibla, and bore witness to the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of his beloved Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. He would be heard saying as he left this world, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And with that testimony, his soul leaves his body and begins its ascent towards the heavenly realms. In that state, the sound of mourning and weeping rose from the house. The daughters, the sons, the family of Amirul Mu'mineen began to cry. And it was similar to the day when the Prophet departed from this world. But the Imam's body would still have to be buried, and the grief would begin to set in even further. Because after Imam Ali alayhi salam attained martyrdom on that late night of the 21st of the month of Ramadan, Imam Hassan, peace be upon him, the successor to the Imam, along with his brothers, they got the body ready for burial. They placed their dear father in the coffin. And being guided by the angels, just as Imam Ali, peace be upon him, had told his sons, they began to accompany the body on that long, arduous journey towards the land of Najaf. And as they began to prepare the grave, they found a shining white stone. They removed it and found a tablet inscribed with the words that this is the grave that Noah had prepared and preserved for Ali ibn Abi Talib. They buried the body right there in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, made the grave smooth, and returned back to Kufa. Thus, the pure body of the pure man, killed in the pure month in the pure house of Allah, was laid to rest in the earth before the dawn. And just as he himself had instructed to conceal his grave, to remain safe from the blind hatred of extremists and the enmity of those hostile groups like the Khawarij and other criminals. We offer our condolences to the 12th Imam, our senior scholars, and to all of you on this tragic day. And as I conclude, let me mention a few practical tips from the Quranic verse we began with today to end our Ramadan reflections, as well as a closing reflection and a final thought. Point number one is gratitude and appreciation. We are encouraged to express gratitude and appreciation for the ease with which the Quran can be remembered. Recognizing the divine favor bestowed upon us, we acknowledge Allah's generosity and mercy in providing us with guidance that is accessible and comprehensible. This form of gratitude will foster a deeper sense of humility and reverence toward the Quran, motivating us to approach its study with sincerity and devotion. Point number two is community unity. The Quran serves as a unifying force within the Muslim community, bringing believers together in their shared remembrance and reverence for Allah. By making the Quran easy to remember, Allah fosters a sense of unity and solidarity among believers, transcending differences and promoting mutual understanding and respect. This unity strengthens the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood within the Muslim Ummah, encouraging collaborative efforts towards spiritual growth and societal well-being. Point number three is eternal blessings. Ultimately, the ease with which the Quran can be remembered signifies the eternal blessings and guidance it offers to believers. By actively engaging with its message and internalizing its teachings, believers secure favor and mercy of Allah, both in this life and the hereafter. This verse serves as a reminder of the immense blessings bestowed upon those who remember and take heed from the Quran, promising them everlasting success and felicity in the presence of Allah. I give you a closing reflection on today, the 21st of the month of Ramadan. The Quran is beautiful at many levels, both the aesthetic splendor of the Quran as well as its content and the recitational sound that is emitted when we read the Quran with beauty. As we recite its verses with beauty and reverence, we elevate our spiritual experience, connecting with the divine essence of the Quran. Let our recitation be infused with sincerity and devotion, honoring the majesty of the divine words and invoking a sense of awe and wonder in our hearts. And as a final thought, as we close today, may the Quran be a constant companion on our journey of faith, illuminating our hearts with its light and guiding us towards a life of righteousness and piety. Let us strive to embody its values and teachings in our daily lives, becoming beacons of light and sources of inspiration for those around us. Until tomorrow and another day of Ramadan, and our Ramadan reflections, we leave you with the words of peace. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.